It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WIP Afternoon Show. Thanks, Mike and Vince. Ike, I'm miserable.
Well, I'm here to hug it out with you. Spike, Jackie Lonely Baseball over there.
Yep.
I'll let your boy.
E!
He's ready to do Eagles chants.
Might be time. They come back from this West Coast trip. It might be full on training camp.
There's a couple. Yeah, I mean, we'll get into it. It feels like a future top five on who to blame for this.
Yeah.
But number one is Justin in Tennessee. He's on my every time Justin in Tennessee steps foot in this city.
Yep,
everything goes to crap.
We need to send him to opposing cities.
Yeah,
can we send him to other cities? Maybe
exactly.
Try to turn things around for
send
us.
To New York.
Yes.
Go to a Mets game.
Yes. So if you're sitting in traffic, we are sympathetic to your plight. This is the WIP Afternoon Show. I'm Spike Eskin. That's Ike Reese. That's Jack Fritz. We're on every day from 2 to 6, and we would love if you would listen to us. We have the best show on the radio. So
appreciate
we used to have the
that.
Best team in baseball. Doesn't mm-hmm. happen. So this is sort of, you know, where I am is that I feel like the Phillies have been lulled to sleep. And we have been lulled to sleep with them. Lulled to sleep by complacency, lulled to sleep by a fast start. You know, every time that I tried to wave the warning sign, I just hear, we're the best team in baseball, we're the best team in baseball, we have the best record in baseball, we have the best record in baseball, we have the best record in baseball. Well, we just got swept at home by the Yankees, and we don't have the best record in baseball anymore. So we don't have that to hold up anymore. The Cleveland Guardians have the best record in baseball. And we are a loss or two away from having like the third or fourth best record in baseball, which is great if you are not heading sort of the other way. And the Phillies have had two good months this year and two bad months this year. And or two average, mediocre, 500. They've 500 since June 1st. Mm-hmm. And that is how they will end July. Is June and July will end 500 because, you know, this is the last day in July. They're off tomorrow. Right. So my question to you listening is, why should I have faith that this is going to turn around? Because the thing that keeps, you know, being said to me over and over and over again is these things happen in baseball. These things happen in baseball. These things happen in baseball. Just a bad stretch. Just a bad stretch. But what I would like to remind you of is the other thing that does happen in baseball is teams start off good and then aren't good anymore. Happens all the time. Happens the other way, too. Like Nationals that won the World Series a couple of years ago. Nationals halfway through the year were under 500 and well out of the division lead, ended up winning the World Series. So do good teams have lulls? Yep. Absolutely. But good teams also then become not so good teams. Uh-huh. And, you know, the Mets of 2022 started out, they were 10 games up in the middle of July, ended up losing the division, still won 100 games, lost in the first round of the playoffs. Uh-huh. So yes, do these things happen in baseball where a good team goes through a lull and then comes back? Absolutely. But the other thing that happens in baseball is a team has a good stretch and then it goes away and it never comes back. And I'm just dying for a nugget of logic to tell me why I'm so sure it's going to come back. Because, well, I don't see Ranger coming back. Whatever. Go ahead.
But this team has won more than they've lost in the last year.
Yes.
So that's why.
Okay.
I mean, that's why. I mean, this team usually plays its best baseball late in the season as opposed to early in the season. That has been flipped on us this year. And thankfully it has. Listen, it gives you a little bit of cushion to be able to go through this sort of down period in which they're going through. The good thing I can tell you is that they still have a full two months of baseball left to go, August and September. So they still have a full 2 months of baseball left to go to where they can turn things around. We've seen players, hell, take Castellanos, for example. He's been much better the last month and a half than he was the first month and a half of the season, right? He was dreadful to start the season for a large portion. But I feel like since July has come around, since Liam has been out of school, since he's been up here.
He's been much better.
I think Castellanos has been much better. And his numbers are starting to show that. So I only say that to say that's sort of what I have to hang my hat on. That's sort of what I have to hang my hat on. They're going through this right now. I tell you what I was more nervous about is them playing at a 650 clip all year long, and they get, bored the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season because they can't wait till the postseason gets here.
And they go into the playoffs like this.
Yes, yeah. And then they're gone. So to me, at least this, and I know we'll do our part to help, meaning fans, because this will light a fire under us. It'll make it a little more tense around here. The questions will be different for the players, right? And they'll get a little irritable. And you know what? That may be what we need right now.
They might need to be pushed.
Yeah, they might need that a little bit right now. And so that's what I'm sort of hanging my hat on.
And finally, on the team's best player, he who shall not be criticized, Bryce Harper.
Well, just when you do criticize, just you don't need to go over the top with the criticism.
If any other star player, while the team was struggling, played this poorly against the two teams with the best record in the American League, in the other league, if Jalen Hurts played this way, if A.J. Brown played this way, if Saquon Barkley played this way, if Joel Embiid played this way, if Paul George played this way, if Tyrese Maxey played this way, you would not be able to get that player's name out of your head. You would hear it on the radio. You would see it on Twitter. You would hear it in the newspapers. You would hear it from hosts. You would hear it from callers. He is the best player on the team. He is a great player. But and I'm not even going to point out that if he had just run out of the box last night, they would have won in the bottom of the ninth. Yeah. If he hadn't been pouting that he grounded out, I'll put it aside. I won't bring it up again. He's struggling. He doesn't want to struggle.
That's what you should bring up. Like that's well, to me, that's something to be critical of, that right there.
Well, I'm going to give him a pass on and it happened last night, but the last time I brought up Bryce's hustle, he got hurt.
That's right. It was a big deal.
And I got whatever. True.
That's so, right.
But by the way,
I forgot about
but
that.
By the way, and then I'll let it go. The thing to do when you're the best player on the team and you're scuffling and you know your team needs a win is make sure you run to friggin' first base. Is last night is if you know you're not going to hit a home run and you're not going to get the double when they need it and you're just in a bad place, then the way that you can make up for it is, and he hit a shot. He hit it hard. It was the hardest hit ball all night. And if he had just busted it out of the box, he would have been at first base. The Phillies would have won, came over. But that aside, Bryce Harper needs a day off. He needs a day off. If everybody else is getting days off right now, Trey Turner gets a day off. JT had a day off today. Trey Turner didn't even Topper won't even go to him for a pinch hit. It's a day off. It's a day off. Bryce Harper is frustrated. He is only getting more frustrated. As he gets more frustrated, there will be a bigger chance that he will have a harder time getting out of it. Just give him a day off. Give him a day off.
Or he's getting one off tomorrow.
No, a game off.
Why does he need a game off?
Needs a game off. Needs a game off.
If it's a day off, it's a day off. Does he need a game off?
I want him sitting in
and watching the game
in the dugout, watching the game. I just want him to know this is the message. You're an important player. You don't have to do everything. And by watching the team play without him, because he came back early because he thought they couldn't beat the Dodgers without him. By the way, he's hitting .170 since he came back early.
Well, he just wanted to be – he wanted to beat the Dodgers with the team.
Well, we swept the Dodgers, and he had one hit. And he played two of the three.
I can't fault him for wanting to play.
I don't fault him.
Sounds like you did.
I don't fault him. But what I do is fault him for is this is baseball. It's not basketball. You don't get to touch the ball every time you play.
Sure.
You cannot take it all on by yourself. And he's pressing, and I just get the sense that if he sat in the dugout, watched the team play, hell, maybe they win a game. They could certainly win a game without him. They've won plenty of games without him over the last few years. Not a shot, just the truth. It's just a baseball game. Maybe he sees it and he's like, you know what? All I have to do up there is go up and hit. I don't have to hit a 10-run home run. I don't have to get a double or home run every time I'm up there. I don't have to, you know, because he's obviously pressing.
Yeah.
So just a thought, Topper, instead of giving the entire rest of the lineup the day off.
Well, Casty doesn't get a day
give
off.
Casty a day off.
Won't work for Casty because Casty doesn't stress.
He's strictly vibes.
He's all vibes.
Happy to be there.
Yeah. Cassie's happy, you know?
He is right. Now.
215-592-9494. Chuck in Mount Airy, you're on WIP.
Well, I ain't happy. I'll tell you that much. Cassie could be happy, but I'm not happy at all. Hey, Spike, listen. Spike, what's up, Ike?
What's up, Chuck?
Spike, listen. Lay off of my guy a little bit, all right? Lay off of Bryce, all right? Because I knew he was waiting for any opportunity to jump on you. You know what I mean?
Any opportunity is one hit in the last 2 weeks. I've had plenty of opportunity. I haven't done it.
Yeah, I know. But listen, yeah, this ain't your opportunity. The floodgates ain't open for you to start talking about Bryce.
Oh, you know what? You know why you're doing this? Because you know he's on the way home from the game. Yesterday, you had a very sharp tongue with Bryce.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, come on, man.
You did.
I don't know his schedule. I wish I did know his schedule. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'd meet up with him. I don't know his schedule. You think I know what that man's schedule
is? So what's the difference, Chuck?
I'm doing what I normally do. I'm calling up to speak my truth.
So let me ask you this. And then you can have all the time in the world to speak your truth. Yesterday you called up and you created a demand. You set a standard. You said, Bryce, you're the best player on the team. We need you to come through. Da 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 da. And it wasn't inspirational. It was a little bit of a sharp tongue, as Jack says, but I believe he deserved it. So he responded by going 0-for-10. So you call me today after telling me that the team needs Bryce Harper. Why are you laying off him today when you weren't laying off him yesterday?
Well, Spike, here's the thing, right? I see all the stiffs he's playing with. You know what I mean? And he's trying to take it on his own back. You know what I mean? So I thought yesterday I was rough on him. And I should be, because he hasn't played right. But the guy that you guys need to be criticizing is that stiff that's getting $300 million. And that's, what's his number, 7? Trey Turner. Okay? Mm-hmm. Trey Turner's to blame for all of this, right?
He didn't
now.
Even play today.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. He played yesterday. Okay? And this guy, you know what I mean? You know, let me tell you about this guy. He needs standing ovations. You know, he gets hurt. Then he comes back and he can hit. He act like he hit for a little bit. Then he can't hit again. You know what I mean? And then, you know, everybody makes excuses for Trey Turner. I'm sick of making excuses for Trey Turner. He's inconsistent. He hasn't earned the $300 million that he's making. And I tell you right now, his defense leaves a lot to be desired as well. He's not even a good shortstop. You know what I'm saying? Listen, this is what the Phillies are going to do, okay? The Phillies are going to get out of this rut. Believe that. But it's only going to be good enough to get to the NLCS because the guys like Trey Turner and, you know, and Castellanos, those guys can't carry this weight, man. And that's why Bryce Harper has been crushing because this guy has a lot of weight on his shoulders, okay? And I like to thank Dave Dombrowski. I really would, man, because he was smart enough not to trade away our prospects like Abe Miller. And Painter, man. Painter got,
this is
got
good.
So much good stuff.
What
man.
Is
so
this? Serious,
this is good stuff.
Is this artificial intelligence. Chuck?
AI Chuck?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying, he's guy, you know, you guys should be thanking Dave, man, because, you know, he saved our franchise. Because all you guys wanted to do was just jump into this year. This team ain't good enough to win a World Series. They're not going to win a World Series. They're going to get to an NLCS. You can play the little, you know, the chihuahua you want. But what I'm saying to you is, you know,
I want to be clear, Chuck. That wasn't me. It was Jack.
Yeah, I know Jack. Okay. Yeah, but Spike, you worked this short height trendum here. That, you know,
not for weeks.
Well, that text line was me too, Chuck. Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't me. That's not me. Yeah, that's
not
Jack
even,
as well.
I'm not the shortest guy to call WIP, so I don't know why you guys said that.
I didn't bring it up. I haven't brought it up. It's not me, it's Jack.
Well, but you brought it here though. You know what I mean? I heard the little, you know, little stuff y'all said on the text line about a booster seat and all.
But
that.
It wasn't me. I don't do the text line. Jack does the text
get
line.
Get him, Chuck. Get him.
Hold him accountable, Chuck.
No, hey, whoa.
Sorry, doing pure accountability. Yeah. That's me. That's me. Right.
We need that accountability. Just accountability.
Jack throwing me under the bus here.
No, I know.
Yeah, listen. I'm a solid 5'8 with a 6'4" right hand. So
6'4".
I mean, that's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? But listen, here's the thing, though. Right? The Phillies want to get it together. Trust me. You guys just hold out hope, because they're too good of a team not to. But I tell you, man, their pitching don't even look as good. And I think that if they was going to make a move, they should have got a starting pitcher. Because I tell you, Willer looked like he's gassed. You know, and Nola, I don't trust Nola. I don't care how good he's pitched all year, Ike. I know that's your guy. I cannot put no trust in Nola when they count, man. I'm telling you that right now. And Suarez, I can't believe I had him on my top 10 list of Philly athletes in the city. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy, man. It really is crazy. So, I mean, you know, when he come back, I'll pin him in the bullpen. I like the way Christopher Sanchez been pitching, but he got rocked today with that grand slam. I just think they don't have the pitching, man. The pitching's been good all year because they played tomato can. But when they start going into the playoffs, the pitching is not deep enough. The hitting's going to come back because Bryce is going to carry his team like he always. You're going to get it together.
But it's good baseball talk there, Chuck.
Yeah, it's very confusing messaging from you. Thank you for the call, Chuck. I couldn't.
It's good baseball talk.
I couldn't tell where Chuck was. They're going to turn it around, but they're definitely not good enough to win the World Series.
And mad at Trey Turner.
Mad at Trey Turner.
He's a big Aiden Miller, Andrew Painter fan.
Yes. Where did that come from with Chuck? That's a new one. So
he's an underrated baseball guy.
We were just like us.
Yep.
You got the overrated one over there.
I agree.
Yeah. So coming up at 5 o'clock with the top five at five, Jack will do a tribute to tomorrow's Polygraph Day. But you should know during Polygraph Day here on WIP, we will be putting three people on the lie detector. And here is some of what we're going to find out. So the three people we're going to put in the lie detector for our show are OG Wade, Elliot Shore Parks, and Rod Lakin, the program director of WIP.
It's about time. This guy's gotten away with murder here. He's been here behind the scenes for, 3 years?
Yeah, what does he even do?
Well, I mean, he's never talked on the air once.
Yeah.
Besides, I think, Angelo's retirement day.
Oh, so we're going to get to bring him up. We're going to have to bring him on.
Well, because he got to answer for his test.
Yes. Yeah, so here, we're going to have several questions for all these, but here is one thing that we are going to make sure that we find out from each of these people tomorrow. OG Wade, I do not believe that he really believes that Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. We will find that out, among other things. Elliot Shore Parks, his craziest take of all time, that he believes that players should be able to bet on their own teams in sports. We will find out if he really believes that. Mm-hmm. We also, I'm thinking about asking if he thinks he could actually hit a home run off of a Major League Baseball player, which he said he did.
Can't even get the ball out of the infield.
And Rod Lakin, program director of WIP, among other things, we will find out if he thinks he's a better program director of WIP than I was.
That's interesting.
He's squirming, too.
Yep. And because the real choice for him is whether he, if he actually believes it and he says it, then, obviously there's incredible tension between the two of us.
Sure.
But then if he says,
just got here, Spike.
Yeah, well, I've been here. I just got here, but I've been here.
Just got here.
But I've been here. And the other thing is, if he says he's not, but then it comes back that he's lying, then he thinks he's better and he's a liar.
No, it's tough.
Yeah, it's very tough.
But at the same time, if he says no, then he doesn't have the dog in him.
Oh, so you're saying if he doesn't actually believe it, then he doesn't have the dog in him.
He doesn't say yes,
Well, so then he's saying yes regardless. It doesn't matter whether or not he really believes it.
It's very interesting.
He's not going to say no, so yeah, he's not saying no.
And tomorrow we're going to have to all get our predictions in as to what is going to be true and not true. So that is tomorrow on the WIP Afternoon Show. And coming up at 5, Jack will have a top 5 at 5 that is related to Polygraph Day. John in Hazleton, you're on WIP. What's up, John?
I'm glad you attacked the Golden Boy a little bit, because I'm sick and tired of everybody putting this guy on a pedestal. All right? Front running Bryce. Not hustling down the line in the ninth inning last night. It's inexcusable. And I don't think they're going to – I think they'll end up making the playoffs, but barely. And I think they're going to be a quick out. And the only good thing about it is Clueless Rob will be fired. I'm tired of him coddling these guys, resting these guys, not pinch hitting Real Muto. I wanted him to have his whole day off. Bringing White Flag Ruiz in high leverage situations. I'm tired of all of it. That's the only good thing that's going to happen when they bow out early in the playoffs this year. He's going to be gone.
Wow. I've not heard so much anger toward
Topper. Well, listen, we're talking about, 5 straight series that they've lost?
Yes.
People are going to be frustrated. And again, at some point, the finger eventually ends up on the manager, because, the players aren't going anywhere. So if this thing does end poorly, there will be more than just a few people calling for a change in the managerial position to just to get a different voice in the clubhouse.
Let me ask you both, because I have not been here for the last 3 years, and obviously you two have, to great success. Congratulations to you both. Has it ever gotten rough for Topper in Philadelphia since he became manager?
No.
I would say the closest was taking Wheeler out of the game in game 6 down in Houston.
Yeah.
Because he was pitching really well. He went for a lefty-lefty matchup, and Urán hit a ball 700 feet. But really, besides that, I mean, Kimbrel got crushed for last year.
Yep.
But it seems like the players get it more when they lose rather than
Yeah.
him.
Yeah, and the Wheeler move was done. I mean, obviously, it was done in the most critical point in the season, in the World Series. But it then went into the offseason, and they just got out of the World Series. So he wasn't getting
Shocked
fired.
Shocked everyone.
Yeah,
right,
and he wasn't getting fired. So even the criticism that was there, it died down, and he didn't back down from it. He was asked about it the following year going into spring training. What are you changing? And he was like, no.
And by the way, not for nothing, the season ending in the middle of Eagles season.
Helps.
It does help.
Yeah.
Now, as they have fallen like this, there's got to be, and nobody mentions Rob Thomson really ever. Somewhere, Gabe Kapler is streaming WIP on the Odyssey app and is like, wait a minute. Every time I put a reliever in and it didn't go the right way,
right. You
guys absolutely murdered me.
Angelo Castaldi.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's most people like Rob Thomson.
Yeah, I like Rob Thompson.
That's what I'm saying.
He's a good manager.
You're not quick to be critical of him or overly critical of him.
And it does. We were talking about it yesterday.
Most people did not like Gabe Kapler.
Right. And most people like Rob Thomson.
Yes. Yeah. Most people did not like Gabe Kapler.
It's hard for me usually to go move by move with a manager and criticize. I do think that the lineup today was inappropriate.
It was a white flag lineup.
Yeah, you can't.
But I thought they would win. I'm like, this is the type of lineup they'll go out there and win because nobody is really expecting them to win this game.
I said the same thing, but they proved us wrong.
Well, they should have won the game if Jose Ruiz wasn't in the game. And again, a leverage spot.
Yeah, it was.
It was a topper decision, right?
It's the thing he does.
It was 4-3 at the time?
It was 4-3 in the sixth?
Yeah.
Like, you have an off day tomorrow. Like, that's. He does the white flag thing when they're down a little too much for my liking. Of like, we're not, if we come back, great. If not, like, it's never an aggressive, we're going to go win this game. Yeah. When they have a lead, he's aggressive. Like, he'll pull guys early. But, like, when they're down by even a little bit, he got lucky last night. I mean, last night he brought Ruiz into a one-run game, and it didn't come back to bite them. Like, he got out of it. Mm-hmm. But he went back to it today.
He went back to it today.
He's their worst reliever. He's in the sixth inning.
So I'm gonna put them both in one bucket. I'm gonna put Dombrowski and Rob Thomson in one bucket. In that, when Rob Thomson sort of waves the white flag, what message does it send to Chris Sanchez today that it's your start against the Yankees? Oh, by the way, you're getting half a lineup out there.
Yeah.
Or when he puts Ruiz in a high leverage situation, and then to the same extent, you know, I thought there's a number of ways you can interpret it, but if Dombrowski goes more all in at the deadline, those players in that locker room is like, okay, we're going for this now,
right.
As opposed it was like, nah, we're fine. That was the kind of the deadline it was. I don't think it was a bad deadline, but it was certainly a we're fine, we're going to plug a hole here and there deadline.
Well, I tell you, for the most part, those players were happy.
Which players?
All of them, the ones who didn't get traded.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, they were. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike and Voorhees, you're on WIP. You're stuck in the traffic, are you, Mike?
Nah, I'm at home now.
Ah, congratulations.
Doing, oh, man, moving
Mike
fast.
Mike and Ike and Jack, how are you?
What up, brother?
What's up, brother?
Good. Good. Just a couple follow up on the topper criticisms. Today in the eighth inning, they had bases loaded, two outs. Number one, why do you bat Marsh? But he's left-handed and he's quick. Why don't you bunt to get the tying run? The third baseman was on the fringe of the outfield, for God's sakes. Everybody would have got the run, no problem. Like, why aren't we aggressive like that? You know?
Yeah.
And then the second one I'm going to go over is the first game of a series. Why are we putting Stubbs in as a pitcher at the end of the game? I mean, you don't do that against the New York team. You want to do that against the San Francisco team or even Atlanta. I don't care. But when it's a Philly-New York rivalry, and there was almost more Yankee fans in the stadium on Monday than Phillies fans, it sure seemed that way. you put Stubbs out there, and then Chisholm puts a giant homer off of you. Chisholm had four home runs against them. Like, I don't understand that logic at all. To me, that's Canadian softness. That's what that is.
I can't take how soft Canadians are, Mike. You and me both.
And he's a Canadian, Rob Thompson. Yeah.
Doesn't have a killer instinct?
Yeah. Well, you know, I thank you for the call, Mike. I go back
it
and forth.
It was 12-2.
I know, but there is... There is a part of it. I get it. You don't want to use another arm. Like, by the way, I'd rather use... You don't want to use another arm. I get it. There is something that is... That night was so embarrassing, just in terms of a baseball game, especially the way the Phillies are playing. It's different to me the last game before the All-Star break against the A's. We all know they're better than the A's. Right. They lose 18-3 to the A's. The players barely were paying attention. But it did feel different on Friday night to have Stubbs... Obviously, nothing against Stubbs, you know, lobbing them up there and having them hitting home runs off of it. You know, like, I agree. I don't know if when I would pick and choose it. To me, it's not whether it's New York or not New York. It just felt like the night was already embarrassing enough. Do we have to make it like this embarrassing?
Right.
You know, 215-592-9494. Top 5 of 5 coming up in a few minutes, which is polygraph related. Gary in Vineland, you're on WIP. What's up, Gary?
I'm down here so close to Maryland. And I just wanted to say, I want to say four things to Annie from Deptford, because I know, like, Deptford is, like, so high class, and we're, like, down here in, you know, the low country. But my four things are Isaiah Pacheco, Mike Trout, Jonathan Taylor, Buddy Kennedy, who grants on a Don Money to play for the Phillies.
That's true.
And,
yeah.
Come on, man. Yep. Like, we got them so out of class. And when he calls up puffing his chest out, my son's freshman high school football team beat his Deptford team. And they hung half a 100 on him. And Deptford was talking trash, down by like 50. It was very, very Andy from Deptford-esque. But,
wow. Well, it's quite a lead on today's. Well, you know, I'm not going to get into the jersey on jersey controversies. I am willing, because there have been so many violent people who have pushed back. And admittedly, I do not have the institutional knowledge of South Jersey like I do of Delaware County. I am completely comfortable saying that Villanova and Radnor are not Delco. But completely, whether they're in Delaware County or not. I am confident,
you know,
born and raised. But Gary, hang on. I am backing off the Violent is not South Jersey. I'm backing off. I've had too much pushback. I don't understand the topic well enough. I'm admitting.
At least you admit it. Okay.
I know,
yeah,
what I don't
good.
Know. I know what. To yeah. me, when somebody says South Jersey to me, I think Marlton, you know, Cherry Hill, blah, 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 Camden, but whatever. Vineland is South Jersey, too. So I'm out on that one.
And, you know, I was thinking about the Villanova thing. I think if you said that they weren't mainline, that would set them off more than not Delco.
So I think it depends on the person. If you said, I think there are a lot of people who live in Villanova who want to be considered living on the mainline, and you would be correct. But there are some people out there who want their cake and eat it, too. And they want to be considered living on the mainline, and also I'm Delco. I'm sorry. As somebody who grew up in Delco and went to school on the main line, they are different places. So, So I don't think you can be both. So,
and Delco is cool because Ben's from Delco. So we know.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Gary. Wow. Gary just called up to just give it to Andy and Depp.
Yeah.
I got to respect it. Yeah. I got to respect it.
Andy normally elicits that response from people.
So if you're new to the show, at 5 o'clock every day, we do our most popular thing, which is the Top 5 at 5 hosted by Jack Fritz. And you are in for a treat, because we're going to do it again right now.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
$4.59, by the way. The top five at $4.59.
Well, for us, but for them listening,
well,
it's almost exactly five.
But it's a 21-second delay, so that means in 9 seconds, then it'll technically
it's be. Better than doing it at 5:06.
I know.
You know?
I know. I know. I'm just kidding. So tomorrow's Polygraph Day. Very exciting. There's a lot of pressure on the people here and in one caller in particular, and it's here to rank that, the top five most pressure on them heading into Polygraph Day.
Jack, 1 second. Yes. Just so everyone knows, the Polygraph Day, because we mentioned Elliot, OG, and Rod going to be during our show. It's happening all day long.
All day long.
All day long. So the pressure, that's why I don't know your top five, but the pressure could be people we haven't even mentioned
yet. Exactly.
You continue
right.
to drive, be the engine for the whole station.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, you know, if we got to come up with the ideas, we'll come up with the ideas.
Once again, our idea.
Yep.
That is now spread to the whole station.
Well, that's good. It's good.
And it's good to see the morning show involved. You know, they didn't.
Yeah, team players.
Yeah, they didn't jump on Mount Rushmore week.
Didn't jump on Top 11 week.
No, but they jumped on the Polygraph. So, again, proud of them. So, the most pressure on them heading into Polygraph Day tomorrow. Number five is Joe Giglio. Because Joe Giglio, you know, I know, Spike, you have labeled him a hot take artist.
I have not. I actually have never said that about Joe Giglio, but that's okay.
And tomorrow he's going to have to answer for a lot of his takes. Does he believe them? How hard is Kyle Quinn going to go after?
Which take do you think is... I don't know. Which one of his takes is questionable?
Can I be honest with you? I believe he believes all of his takes. So the Carson one, I believe he believed.
Well, yeah. Are we still talking about Carson tomorrow?
Well, I'm just talking about his most famous takes. That's it.
Yeah. He has one every month.
I believe he believed in Gabe.
Yeah.
I believe that he believed in Doug, and he believed in Doug before anybody else did, so I give him credit for that.
Lucky take.
Doug, yeah.
Well, he did. I mean, what
do you believe in, Doug? What do you believe?
Well, look.
What do you believe? Doug hadn't coached anywhere before.
Well, he coined the phrase Doug Club.
Look,
I understand. Hold on. He's smart, and I get all of that. But we don't have to just give him stuff as if he was a genius and he picked Doug. Like, Doug, knew Doug was going to win a Super Bowl.
No, I'm just going over his takes to say which ones I think he believes and which ones he doesn't believe. That's all. I'm just going through it. That's all.
I mean, well, he's essentially a loner. That if everybody's going one way, he usually goes the other way.
Well, he's with you on Jalen this year.
Well, that was
already his take, though.
Oh, really?
Well, because he was opposite Carson.
Oh, right.
But so that is one of the questions tomorrow for Giglio.
Is it?
Is Jalen Hurts a franchise quarterback?
I believe he will say yes, and I believe he believes it.
Well, based on Elliott's stats, he didn't a couple months ago. I've heard Giglio.
I don't know where he's at on Jalen.
Yeah, he's wavered on Jalen.
A lot of pressure.
I think that test is coming back negative.
Wow.
I think that's coming back.
You think Giglio's a liar?
Yeah, I don't think he believes he's really a franchise quarterback.
And you, get out of your old program director mode.
I'm not.
Stop being protective of these dudes, man.
I am protective of everyone who works at WIP except for Jack.
No, and me. You're not protective of us.
Oh, that is not true.
No, you're not protective. Listen, we don't need it. We're big dogs.
I
mean, all the small puppies, Elliot's and the camera, all your projects. You're like a proud.
You're both my projects, too.
I'm not your project. Hold on. Afternoon for sure. Yeah, I'm saying, though, but some of these guys, we got them from out of the clay.
Here's what I'll say. You say I don't protect you guys. I move my whole life for you guys.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Move my whole life. Drive. You got to stick up for you. Drive 85 miles each way.
That's a good decision.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great decision.
Finish with your top five.
The fourth most pressure on them tomorrow is Jota Kamara. Because Jota Kamara, he's very weird. We've been over how weird he is with all of his things. And I think they're going to try to drill down, like, if he's telling the truth about how weird he is.
So if he's doing the weirdness as a bit.
Exactly. Like a bit or
he's
no bit.
He's not really a bathtubsman.
Yeah. Now, I believe he's a bathtubsman.
Does he really think he's going to be president? Like, come on.
So, well, whether he believes it or not, that's just stupid.
Now, do you think he believes it?
No.
Yes, I do. I think he believes he can do it.
I think.
I don't know. He's irrationally confident about everything he does.
I'll put you on the test for me. I don't know if you believe that, really.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think he believes it enough.
I think at one point he believed he would be president. I don't think he believes it anymore. But we are talking about a guy, and I was present for this, who had not eaten a strawberry until 6 years ago. I mean, I saw him eat his first strawberry.
I know.
That's weird.
Who got him to do that?
I did.
Peer pressure.
Oh, yeah, me and Richie. So it was their first trip to spring training. So the very first, and we were at a dinner, and we made them bring a strawberry, and we watched him eat it.
Wow.
So, yeah, and he was, and I think I've told this story once before. He was at, maybe I'm violating trust, but he was at dinner with Yadgarov at one point, and David Yadgarov, our boss, let me know that Joe not only had not had a mango before, but did not know what a mango was.
Now that I can't believe.
That he didn't even know it was a fruit.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just ridiculous. Again, like, that's the kind of stuff we need to iron. Like, is that real? Like, you really don't know what a mango is.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Let's mature a little bit. Number three is Elliot Shore Parks, because Elliot's had a lot of outlandish takes.
Yeah.
And the pressure's on tomorrow. I just need to know if he really thinks he can luck into a home run. Like, there's no way.
Yeah, I think he believes he can luck into a home run.
I think he's convinced himself.
No way he believes
that. You don't think he does?
No.
It's like if you ask me if I think really Wilt scored 100 points. I don't know. You know?
What does that mean?
It means,
like, he probably did. All right, he probably scored.
No, what are you doing? What are you going to ruin the whole show?
He said he probably did.
It's funny.
Yeah, you're going to ruin the whole show.
It's
take it
bit.
Back. I'm gonna try to dump it.
Like, Elliot, there's no way. There's just no way he thinks he can do it. And the athletes betting on themselves. Like, we need
the
truth.
That may
there.
Be what he really believes.
I do believe he believes it.
Yeah, he may believe that one for sure.
That I think he can sell himself on.
Yeah.
How he can look himself in the mirror and think he can luck into a home run off a real pitcher is blasphemous.
So let me ask
you. Home run? I don't even think I can luck into a base hit off a real pitcher.
How about this?
And I'm twice the athlete that he is, and I'm 20 years older.
Yeah. So we have to determine, if we say, if the question we ask him is, if we had, take any random major league pitcher. Chris Sanchez throws, what, a 96-mile-an-hour fastball?
Mm-hmm.
96.
Boy, there's no way he's standing in there for 96 miles per hour.
So let's say Ranger. Let's say Ranger. If we pose the question this way, if Ranger Suarez threw you 300 fastballs in the middle of the plate, could you luck into one home run? I believe that
he believes
that he believes it.
He might. 300 pitches? That's a lot of pitches, man.
Over a couple of days. Like, that takes some... It's tiring.
Well, you couldn't even throw 25 pitches to Elliot. What are you talking about?
That's why I'm saying that. Okay. Yeah.
I saw it.
And you also got tired at the stadium.
No, again.
Melted down. The sweatiest guy I ever saw is like Patrick Ewing over there.
Again, I have a stamina issue.
Okay.
We've been over this. And that was like bad shape, Jack. I don't know if you noticed.
Oh, you fitting
up? It might be snack season.
Pop that shirt off. Let's see.
No.
Okay.
Close though. Give me 2 months.
Okay.
Give me two more months.
Okay.
2 more months. This is 20-30 years. This is 30 years of never being slim.
Okay.
The second most pressure on them tomorrow on Polygraph Day here on WIP is Rod Lakin. Like we discussed earlier, never been heard from. No one in this audience even knows really who Rod Lakin is.
Yep.
And does he?
That's how he likes it.
I know. But it's time to toughen up. Does he really believe, or does he believe at all, that he has done a better job as program director than Spike? I mean,
that will be interesting.
It's such a diabolical question.
Well, we might have to put you guys on the lie detector too. Ask you the same question.
I don't know what his answer is, so I don't know if he's telling the truth or not.
What else could we ask?
I'm assuming his answer is yes.
But I would think so, because that way, you know, he knows he has that self-confidence
in
himself.
Yes, he's got the dog in him.
Yeah, and then if it comes back no, he doesn't really believe it. I don't want to see him walking dejected around here. You know what I mean? Like, we need him to have some wind at his sails.
What else could we ask him?
Well, I told you. I don't know if they're going to actually do this, but I need to know if when the Diamondbacks beat the Phillies in Game 7 last year, was there a part of him that was happy?
Well, let me ask you this, Jack. Let's turn it around on you.
Okay.
Let's say you get the call. Rod, you know, pulls you into a room and says, my friends in Arizona called me. They want the Jack Fritz experience in Morning Drive. And I'm going to pay you $1 million. but you got to go there and cheer for the, you know, all the Arizona teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the Diamondbacks end up facing the Phillies, you know, in a playoff series. Who would you would really in your heart be cheering for the Phillies, probably, right?
No doubt about it. Mm. No, are you kidding me?
So would you have more respect for Rod if he...
Hold on.
Just let me ask this one question. Do you have more respect for Rod if he's cheering for his hometown Diamondbacks, or more respect if he turncoated like I did for a couple of years and cheer for the other team?
Yeah, again, well, I didn't know if he had, I didn't think he had Eskin in his last name like you, so like I expected the New York transition.
Yeah.
Rod, I don't know, he didn't scream turncoat to me.
Okay.
I would, because I didn't believe him last year when he would tell me that he's not.
You believed he was cheering for Arizona.
Which, again, is fine. Yeah. I would expect that because, like Spike said, I wouldn't be able to handle it. Like, if I was working in Arizona and the Phillies lost the World Series, or lost in the World Series, NLCS to the Diamondbacks, I'd be furious.
Yeah. Hmm.
Now, if the Eagles lost to the Cardinals, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm just
Hold on. He could have easily been rooting for the Phillies against the Diamondbacks. But when the Diamondbacks won,
he was happy.
He was happy about it. And then he all of a sudden became a Diamondbacks fan again when they went to the World Series.
Well, because you know what starts happening when you're cheering, like, his life gets better if the Phillies
win. Yeah, so, yeah, so, yeah, he's, yeah, that's, and that's the way he's looking at
well,
it.
Well, that's the way, when I was in New York and cheering for the, I was like, well, how would I not cheer for the
Yankees? Yeah, why wouldn't you cheer for him? Yeah.
Okay.
And number one.
Okay.
No doubt about it, most pressure on them tomorrow on Polygraph Day is OG Wade.
Oh, he sure does.
I mean, this has been years and years of building, and then people have accused him of lying on the air, saying you don't really believe he's the best quarterback in football.
Hmm.
Best player in football.
What do we think happens tomorrow?
Well, he's certainly going to say he does.
Yeah, of course he does. Is he lying? I mean, the entire OG Wade house of cards could come crumbling down tomorrow. Knowledge without college. Tomorrow could be the final day of knowledge without college.
He definitely has the most pressure on him now that I'm thinking about it.
If he fails the polygraph.
Oh, my God.
What if the line starts spiking?
I don't even know. To be honest with you, I think there's a 23% chance he doesn't show.
Why'd you say 23%?
That's the number. I'm a numbersman.
Okay.
He better show. Yeah.
He's going to send that little Justin kid in his place.
He better
his producer.
Not.
Yes, he is.
He better not.
Oh,
He has to show up.
He says yes. I think he's talked himself into it.
Like he convinced himself.
Yes, because it's been enough years of it.
I used to do, when I was younger and I was really bad at school, it started around sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth grade. I would fake sick so hard that I would convince myself I was sick. So I think you can do that.
You can. Like, it's like you tell a lie enough or you tell yourself something enough, you just start to believe it.
Yep. So it's a big day tomorrow.
And here's why I think he may wind up passing it. Because in his belief of Jalen, defending Jalen, he has to come up with things to combat arguments against Jalen. So he's actually put the research in to believe it.
Hmm. Really interesting tomorrow. This hour. Yeah,
that's actually a good list.
Oh, my God. It's going to be great. Tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun.
That's actually a good list.
You're going to feel like one of our beginning of July shows. This hour is brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big summer sales event. Today's the last day. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. Before we get back to the phones, I got a note from my friend PJ about South Jersey. Now, here is somebody who lives in South Jersey.
Uh-oh.
PJ says, I hope I'm not outing you, PJ. I live in Mount Laurel now. You are 100% right. Vineland is its own territory and is not South Jersey. If it is directly over the Walt Whitman or Ben Franklin or Betsy Ross, it's not South Jersey.
Huh?
It is South Jersey. Also, the town of Vineland are all Chiefs fans.
Well, because of the Isaiah Pacheco thing.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Well, we have a Chiefs bar here in South Philly. Big Charlie's here. There's a lot of Chiefs.
Yeah, listen, I thought I had enough status to dip my toe in the water of claiming where South Jersey was.
I'm just reading what other people are saying. Yeah. I have no opinion.
Evidently, some people don't consider it South Jersey.
I'm just saying I have no opinion. Jack, you've been scared to weigh in on this? Is Vineland in South Jersey?
I don't know Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my issue. Like, I don't know. Besides the produce stands and cornfields, I get.
And the tomatoes?
Yeah, like, I would never
Jersey
go.
Tomatoes?
I would never be in the middle of the shore Unless it was a bro, there's some great brewing companies. But besides that, I'm not a Jerseyman.
Come on, man.
Chris in Middletown. You're a WIP.
Go down the shore, man.
Yeah, that part's fine. Everything in between.
But that's not South Jersey.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I have no interest in South Jersey. It's more my thing.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair.
Thank you.
We have a lot of listeners. You have interest in the people in South Jersey, though, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I love New Jersey.
A lot of Flyers fans in South Jersey.
Yeah, too many.
A lot. And Delco, the two most discussed regions, Delaware County and South Jersey, might be the highest concentration of Flyers fans. Yeah. So we'll talk to you more about it tomorrow. We're going to Delco the end of August. We're going to Delco. Not you, Villanova, but we're going to Delco. Chris in Middletown, you're on WIP.
It's Philly's accountability day today, man. That's what's going on today, right now. I got five problems here with these here.
Five?
Wow.
Number five, Ruiz should never pitch in a high leverage position again unless there's no other option. Number four, there's too much team chemistry and vibes. When the team's hot, they're all hot. When they're cold, they're all cold. Number three, fire Pat Trainer, I believe is his name. He's the strength and conditioning coach. We got way too many soft tissue injuries, lower back injuries. He needs to go. Number two, Rangers family is a problem. Since they got to the United States, he's stunk and he's developed a bad back. Gee, I wonder why. And number one problem with these here Phillies is Jack Fritz is a jinx. I tried to warn everybody on Monday. I tried to tell you all to take him out of that stadium, Spike, and no one listened to me. He's a jinx. He's not allowed there. He talked about jumping in the pool with Stubbs in Arizona. I don't care. There was so much stink on that stadium from him, they couldn't clean it out. It rolled over to today, all right?
Okay.
And I do got a message for Bryce. Bryce, you're driving home. I hope you're still in the car. I hope you're stuck in traffic. And Bohm didn't watch his long drive out to right center. Bo hustled the entire time.
And he got a triple out of it.
He got a triple.
Yep.
And he never would have scored because that ground out by Castellanos would have been stuck at second or maybe got to third. So you know what? That's what happens when you put your head down. When you're struggling, when you're sulking up there and moping around because you're struggling and not running out things, that's why we lose the game, because when the first baseman bobbles the ball, you would have been on first base and potentially beat that out, and we walked that game off last night, but instead we don't. So you know what? I don't know. Now, Spike, a little bit of positivity here for you. I'm going to give you some positivity. Are you ready for this?
Okay, sure.
We're going to be okay, man. We got the second best record in Major League Baseball, Spike.
Yeah, Spike.
Does that make you feel better?
Yeah. It was a good call, Chris. It was a good list. Well, you know, I wouldn't want to leverage any criticism against our American hero, Bryce Harper, but I'm just saying every other player, star player in Philadelphia would be roundly criticized for performance, for effort. And I don't think he's not trying. That's not my point is but performance is performance. You get praised when it's good, and you get criticized when it's bad.
Yep.
And effort is obvious. We can see it all with our own eyes. Here's a question I asked both of you.
Yep.
So he returned earlier than we expected from his injury to play against the Dodgers.
Yep.
Since then, Jack, I think you mentioned it, he's hitting like 170.
Yeah, it was 175 heading into today, and he went 0-for-5 today. So awesome. I assume that's under 170.
Did he come back too early, and did he... is he not completely healthy? Is it possible that he is not completely healthy by not giving himself the time he needed to come back?
I don't know. I think he's healthy. I just think he's up there trying to win the ball game every at bat that he's up there, whether it's trying to hit a home run, come up with a big hit. And he's clearly frustrated at the plate. And it's starting to show and some of his effort out there. But what are you going to do, man? Like the guy, I think it's fair to criticize him. I do. I'm not telling you that he's above criticism. Now, how much criticism? I think that is always up for debate, because how far do we go with it, right? I think once you point out that he's struggling and that he certainly should have run last night And that's not something that's becoming of a leader and a player of his status. I think all those things are fair to point out. But then what are you going to do? I mean, I know you want to sit him for a game, and that's fine. I don't think if he's set Friday, I don't think anybody would complain about it, especially if it helps him. Especially if it helps him. But I think I remember, I don't know if I was arguing with Jack last year or was Mark's last year. I don't know did we want to sit Trey or did we want to sit Bryce? It was one of the star players last year. It was one of those two last year.
I mean, it probably would make more sense it was Trey.
That it was Trey last year.
Well, because Bryce didn't even come back until
Bryce didn't come back on May 4th.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so then maybe it was Trey. And I don't know if they ever set him. Did they?
No.
Yeah.
They dropped him in the lineup. That might have been the discussion point because he was hitting second the whole time.
Yep.
And it was like,
he got down to as low as seventh, I believe, right?
I think the day before the ovations, then the ovation night, he was batting seventh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, if the player wants to play, especially a player of his caliber, I'm playing him.
Well,
I'm playing him. I'm not sitting.
I think.
But I wouldn't be opposed to it as long as he's all right with it. I don't need him moping that he was forced to sit when he didn't want to sit.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out here is he is important from a leadership perspective. Is his frustration overtaking, which he's getting frustrated, and I think it's hurting him. I don't think he's just off now. Mm-hmm. I think he's frustrated. Visible frustration for a guy who is generally, at this point, since he's been with the Phillies, pretty calm, cool, collected.
We've seen him frustrated before, though. He's gone through these a little bit.
Recently?
Well, yeah, I guess just not this year. Each year he's had it. Yeah, he's had it. He's had these little spells each year.
I just wonder from a leadership perspective if he's hurt and he's playing, you could say, hey, look, that guy is giving it his all.
Right.
But you could also say, hey, that guy's putting his desire and his want in front of the team.
And it's hurting.
And he's hurting them. And from a long-term perspective, it's going to hurt their chance of winning a World Series. And all these other little things from the frustration and cursing at the plate to the not running out that ground ball, so on and so forth.
Yep.
It is not leadership type stuff. I believe he is a great player and he is a leader and he is important to this team, but you can't be as bad as he's been and have these moments without putting what is causing it under a microscope, why it's happening, and how to resolve it, not just from his standpoint, from everyone around him. And he's just like, seeing him take multiple 0-for-5s in a giant series and two games that you lost by one run.
It's tough to see.
It's tough to watch, man.
It just is. Not 1-for-30 is what he is? What?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's been this bad.
No. Well, and what's happening?
I don't know if he's had this type of stretch where you go 1-for-30.
I mean, we were talking about him as the MVP favorite 6 weeks ago.
Cash that bet out.
I would say he's probably behind. What's his name in the Mets?
Now.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Lindor?
Yeah.
Well, he's behind Ozuna. He's got to be, obviously, Ohtani.
Yeah, but yes. I mean,
well, unless Ohtani gets hit by a car or something.
The guy on the Diamondbacks, too.
Ketel Marte?
Yeah, Marte, I think he's probably behind, too.
You know what? A DH has never won the world, won the MVP?
I don't think so.
So, wow, Ohtani's going to have this type of year and not win the MVP.
JD might have done it in 18, but I don't think a DH has won it.
He's probably the greatest player I've ever seen when he's doing both. I don't think he should win the MVP when you're a DH.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, like, I don't think he should.
Yeah, no one's ever done it.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, rightly so, I think. He's an amazing player. If you're DHing,
he's gonna put up the numbers he puts up and not win the MVP.
Would you rather have Judge or Ohtani?
What's the difference?
Well, one place has really good center field, I guess.
Right, okay.
You know why?
I'm just thinking about it at the plate.
I'd rather have Judge because I think.
I'll give me the lefty.
Well, and Judge has not been good in the playoffs recently.
That's tough. It's not a simple answer.
Yeah, especially when they're this way, I would rather have Judge than Ohtani. When you're talking about Ohtani that's pitching every fifth day to a 2.65 ERA, well, it becomes much, much different.
Yeah.
Those are two fantastic players.
Yeah.
All right. We will. Are we doing text line day? I hope. No, no text line.
No.
Good, because you make it up, not me. I just want to be clear to Chuck, yep. So Chuck knows that booster seat thing was not me.
Yeah, that was actually another texter. I'm not naming.
Okay.
But I had to take the fall for it, too.
Okay. Well, I'm not taking the fall.
He's taking a bullet for it because so, he wanted to use it, so he made sure we used it.
I didn't physically put it on the text line. Yeah.
So yes. Everyone knows, Ike and I do not know what's coming on the text line until
no
it
idea,
happens.
Yes.
Good.
The NFL, we will continue the Phillies conversation. I do need to get this out. The NFL is releasing their top 100 players in the league right now, and Jalen Hurts just appeared on the list. Higher than I thought he would be.
Just appeared on the list?
Just appeared on the list.
They're pretty low right now, aren't they?
We will let you know where it is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.